So, okay. So, we're starting now with the title you can read and I can't. XCP, OpenStack, Debian, and the Cloud. Yep. This will be delivered by Thomas Guaran. And please.
Hola. Thanks for attending my talk. I hope you'll be able to cope with my silly French accent. So what am I going to talk today? So it's mainly on the topic of what's new in Wheezy. I want to let you know about my past work during this year to package cloud computing stacks in Debian. So I'll let you know what we have done together, so together with Citrix and with other people working on OpenStack. Briefly, I'm 36 years old and the CEO of GPL Host, which is a company doing server hosting. We have an internal software to do hosting. I'm French, I live in Shanghai. I normally don't do self-promotion here, but since I'm not in the permanent sponsor list, I wanted to highlight that GPL Host is hosting 7 relays for the video of DebConf. It's like all of them but Sydney and Malaysia. So, I hear many times that cloud computing is a buzzword, that we shouldn't talk about it because like it's just marketing and it's boring. And in fact, it's not. That's one of the things you have to really put in your mind, is that it's not just marketing. There's really software behind that, and not just a few. Like, there's many solutions available, and all of them are quite large and represent lots of code. There's many types of cloud computing. There's infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, and software as a service. Here in this talk, I'm going to talk only about infrastructure as a service, meaning providing virtual machines to the final users. This means for having a cloud computing service, it needs to have all these 4 points. So it has to be on demand, it has to be self-served, scalable, and measurable. I mean, like, the hosting service provider must know how much you've used. And together, this is awesome. Thanks to Dave who gave me that. So, why is it important to have cloud computing service software in Debian? So, we've seen a trend, like everybody's moving to cloud computing as a service for software, like people are moving to Google Doc, to WordPress, they use their mail on big platforms. And in Debian, we've made a statement. Zach made an announcement together with Citrix and the OpenStack community that Debian cares a lot that we have a cloud computing software available in Debian because we think it's a safeguard for our freedom. We want to be able to use infrastructure as a service directly in Debian. So, when we use cloud computing services, we need a hypervisor. A hypervisor is the thing that runs your virtual machine. It's a bit like a PC emulator. So like, you have like the illusion that you have a full computer when in fact you only have a virtualized server, okay. So cloud computing stacks do not implement hypervisor. They all use hypervisors, so they are customers of it. There's a lot of hypervisors currently available in Debian, so ZenKVM, VirtualBox, QEMU, VMware, and you can access D3 through packages in Debian. So Amazon EC2, there's UK tools that you can use to access EC2. But of course, you cannot install EC2 on your own hardware. Briefly, there's also containers with LXC that is available in Debian. It's great to have LXC because now it's in mainline kernel, so we have very good hopes that we'll be able to provide cloud computing on top of LXC. So to do cloud computing, as I said, we need a hypervisor. So I took these slides from Jeremy at Citrix. So I'll show them first a bit fast. So you see there's many types of hypervisors and different models. Basically, with ESXi, you have a machine here that is kind of opaque. So like you don't have access to it. You just have a black box. So as a system administrator, I don't really like this model because if there's any problem there, I won't even know. With KVM, you start little machines as processes of the host operating system. And then it's different because you have the hypervisor running here, and the DOM 0 is at the same level as the DOM use. Like the DOM 0 provides the management, and it's considered by the hypervisor just as a virtual machine with more privileges. So on the paper, it's better, but KVM is easier to manage inside the kernel because virtual machines are just a process. And on the container side, we used to have OpenVZ and vServer available in Squeeze, and that is gone away. The reason is that nobody stood up to say, I'm going to maintain that. So currently, we have only LXC, and we can use it in the cloud computing environment using OpenStack, which is, I believe, the only stack that can manage LXC. So a brief history of Xen. That as well, I took it from slides from Citrix. So basically, we had the Xen project started there. Around here, we had the first usable Xen hypervisor. So like with version 2, it started to be really good. Then Amazon started to use it and provide a cloud computing service. Then Rackspace. Then Citrix started to work on XCP, which was okay, so then after there was Xen server that was sold for about $500 a year. That was a cloud computing stack. And I'd say that around 2010 or 2011, we started to see open source stacks for cloud computing. So basically, for us lovers of free software, nothing before 2010 available. And now it starts to be available widely. So in Citrix, they first started to sell Xen server as a proprietary software. Then they wanted to open source it, so they took this ISO image, which is CentOS based, and provided it as a CentOS appliance of, as free software, but still not packaged. It means that you take the ISO image, you install it on your server, and that's about it. There's no standalone, there was no standalone RPM packages that you could use. You had the source and you could do it yourself, but that's not the way it was released and shipped. And since about a year, we have Citrix that worked on a packaged solution for XCP. So that was called Project Kronos. And so all of these three implements Xen API, which is a RESTful API that you can use to create, manage, and start, stop virtual machines. So that's what I've been working on with the guys from Citrix, was packaging that and making it available in Debian. So this started about a year ago. So there was discussions in the OpenStack mailing list saying that, okay, we have OpenStack. This is a Ubuntu project, so Debian based. And we have XCP, which is a CentOS appliance. So it didn't really make sense for administrators to have both CentOS and Ubuntu or Debian together on the same cloud environment. As well, it made sense on the maintaining side, because like if you have packages, it might be easier to maintain the software. So Mike and John started that project like in April 11. And we've been working on that until December, when it was first uploaded in Debian. So Mike and John has been extremely helpful. And not only that, they've been also very friendly. So I'm happy to announce that we have that for Wheezy. And it's basically you do apt-get install XCP XAPI, and you have a server which is ready to use with XCP. Still some RC bugs. No, there's no RC bugs anymore. There's like two normal bugs. And we'd be happy to have more testing and more reports, and of course, more fixes. So contributions are, of course welcome. So a few differences we have between the CentOS CD and the packages in Debian. Sorry. So because it's a CentOS appliance, they have to maintain all the packages themselves. So the hypervisor version that you have in current XCP is a bit lagging behind. The DOM 0 that we have in XCP, in Debian or Ubuntu, is what is available as the operating system. So only 32 bits for the Xen appliance. It's very fortunate that both Ubuntu, the last Ubuntu LTS, and Debian uses the same kernel version. Okay, next slide. So what is the difference between using just Xen and XCP? The main difference is that instead of having one hardware that you maintain with XM or XL on the command line, is that you have XE, and it manages a pool of servers, many hardware. So you have a master node that you control with the command line or with the REST API. So the REST API, the XE tool, the XE tool on the command line is just a client for the REST API that you could use by yourself using JSON and things like that. So you have a pool of hardware not only for compute, but as well for storage. So every machine that runs Xen API can be used for storage as well. So there's multiple storage type. So ext is like ext3 or storage type. You can as well use directly LVM, giving partitions to your virtual machines, or iSCSI, NFS, Samba, whatever. So, and there's Samba stuff to store your ISO images and provide them to your clients when they want to install virtual machines. There's a very cool feature that Citrix is currently working on, which is storage motion, meaning that currently you can move one machine from one server, from one physical server to another. It's called live migration. But the storage will stay on the hardware where your current virtual machine is running. With storage motion, as its name, as you might have guessed by this name, means that you can move the virtual machine's compute workload, but as well the storage. So it will move live when the virtual machine is running. I really hope that we'll have that for Wheezy Plus One. So a bit of demonstration here. So how does it work in real life? So that's a script that I'm going to explain in details. So what you have in blue, there, okay, is things that you can replace in this typical script. The red things are the XE commands. So basically, every commands sends, that you send will return you a UID. So that's if I can find my mouse, yeah, it's there. So what's cool? Oh, I'm in Chinese. So what's cool is that you have bash autocomplete. So you can see all the commands for XE, quite a lot, right? More than 400. So you can do XE VM list. And currently you see that there is only my DOM0 machine. And here you have the same script as I showed on the slide. So find a template, create the machine, edit a virtual network interface, set few parameters, and then finally start. So the start is commented. So if I do XE VM list, so you see there's no machines, and I do new VM, and very quickly, XE VM list. Very quickly, you see that there is a new machine called Managua 2012 that I can start if I want. XE VM, so ST tab, and you see it completes. VM equal, and then there I can either give the UUID that you see here or the name. So I'm going to give the name, that's cooler. Managua 2012. So starting is as fast as you do with normal Xen. No, that's. Managua 2012. And there you go, and you see a nice netboot. Yoo-hoo! So I won't go, of course, in the process of setting it up, that would be boring. Just do an XE VM list to show you that it's running. If I want, I can shut it down. Few commands so that you have VLAN, create, so everything's there. So that's it about the very quick overview. There's as well Xen. Open Xen Manager. So if you have used the tool delivered by VMware, so that's comparable. So that here you have a list of the templates. Maybe I should show that because that's nice. So when you create the machine, that's what you do, okay? So you have all the list of templates. So if I add a D, then it will show only the Debian ones. Okay. So now go back to my slides. So here you will see all the templates, the same way you would see on the command line. So basically, this is just like XE, so that's a client for the REST API, but in a graphical way. So when you use so XCP, you have one of the possibilities to use normal Xen bridging, or you have the possibility to use OpenVSwitch. So I won't talk in details about OpenVSwitch because I believe Guido is going to talk about it in the presentation just after mine. But basically, what does OpenVSwitch is that if you have many servers and many switches and a complicated network, what it's going to do is that aggregate all these and make it controllable from one unique central point. So it's going to maintain VLANs across your networks. Your switch has to support labeling, and then it will create VLANs. The goal is that one customer has like many virtual machines. You want these virtual machines to be connected to each other, but you don't want your customer to see the traffic of other virtual machines. As well, what it does is monitoring with the VFlow protocol, so that you will know how much bandwidth virtual machines are using. You can do QoS and things like that. So XCP is nice. It's very easy to use on the shell. You can create and stop virtual machines, but it's not EC2 compatible. And there's many services that it provides that are lacking for putting that in production and provide it to your customers. So one way to use XCP is to use it together with OpenStack. So XCP will do the compute load mainly. So OpenStack will bring you the EC2 API and the S3 API, do storage for you. So you will have your images that will be stored using Glance over Swift if you use that setup. There's many ways to set up OpenStack. I will come to that later. You might have heard that about the first, like, Citrix is focusing on CloudStack. That was an announcement that I think now Citrix is regretting. In fact, they are still working on OpenStack and providing support for OpenStack. One of the reasons is that Xen is a very cool hypervisor, and that's the only way you have to use the only way you can use Xen is through Xen API if you use OpenStack, and not through libvirt. The libvirt compatibility for Xen in OpenStack is not tested. So don't even try, because you'll be the first person to do it. The setup is a little bit more complex than using just KVM, meaning that the networking part is really complicated. You have to set up three networks, three VLANs, one for management, one for private, one for internal connections between your VMs. So now I'll talk a bit more about OpenStack itself. So there's many, many components in OpenStack. Just Nova creates about 10 binary packages, and Nova is only one of the projects of OpenStack. So OpenStack uses a database, whichever you want, because it uses SQL Alchemy. So you can use SQLite, MySQL, or Postgres. It doesn't really matter. And the RabbitMQ server. So RabbitMQ server is something to communicate between the components. So it's a messaging queue. Meaning that you have on one side you have many components that might send some messages, and they want it maybe broadcast to many other components. So that's what it does. Then you have the core project of OpenStack, so Nova Volume, Nova Glance, and Nova Swift, together providing storage. And then the compute part is made out of Nova, and as I just said, XCP if you want to use Xen. So in Nova, your compute nodes, you will need Nova Network, Nova Scheduler, and maybe Quantum for managing your network. That slide is a kind of a joke to tell you, oh look, that's easy, there's only a few components. And of course I have to explain a bit how it works. So this is the RabbitMQ messaging thing. So all of the components of OpenStack can send messages to the queue. And then after the queue dispatches the messages to all the components. So basically you have Nova API that will listen to RESTful requests from the outside, or through Nova Dashboard. So Dashboard is the Horizon project, And that's a web GUI. So you connect to it, create machines through a web interface. I like to highlight that if you use cloud computing, it's a bit silly to use a web GUI. Cloud is all about automation and scaling and scripting. So it's not the way to, as a customer, to use the cloud. But it's still nice to have a web interface and see an overview of what's going on. So the customers talk to Nova API, and then Nova API sends the queue to compute to create start and stop virtual machines. Nova Network is the thing that will route all the traffic of your virtual machines. So your VMs will run in this, like many hardware, and then absolutely all of their network will go through Nova Network. So there's two ways to set it up. First, one way is that you have one Nova Network, and then all the VMs are routed through that. Or another way is to set up Nova Network in each compute nodes that you have. So doing that is like you have more things to maintain, but the nice point is that you have more redundancy. Like if one Nova Network server dies, then you still have networks for the others. So Nova Volume is a kind of it uses LVM, so that's the elastic block storage of Nova, meaning that you create a partition and then just say assign that to this virtual machine. The Nova scheduler, you won't have to deal with it too much. It just decides where virtual machines are going to be started. Yeah, and here, when you want to create new virtual machines, you have Glance. So Glance just stores your virtual machines images, like AMI if you use the AWS. So here it will store your images, and then you have multiple backends. You can use Swift. So Swift is the equivalent of S3. So Swift is not file system storage, it's objects. So you can have literally billions of objects stored there. An image, a picture, a video. It's not meant to be fast, but it's meant to store a lot of objects, and it's highly redundant. Typically, you will have at least three Swift machines that have at least three copies, and then after you can add more and more hardware. And it does the copy using rsync in repetitive cron jobs. So once you have all the complicated setup you have here, then you can plug XCP on it if you like to use Xen. So what happens is that you have one OpenStack controller system, and then it connects to, let's say, one XCP server, and that one can have multiple XCP servers to get connected to each other. So one master, many slaves. And if you have multiple availability zones, then you can have these three. So that's one cool feature about OpenStack as well, is that you can have availability zones, so like, let's say, multiple ones in your data centers or across the world if you have multiple data centers. So I like OpenStack is maintained by many these four guys, including myself. NXCP is maintained by Citrix guys with me together. So currently the packaging is quite complicated. It's not easy to set up. It's not something you say, okay, I just set up a seed and then five minutes later it's done. So we tried to have Google Summer of Code students to do what we called an OpenStack packaging use case. So what we were hoping through that was that we'd had meta packages so that you could say, okay, here's a compute node, I just do apt-get install, OpenStack compute node, and then magically it would come up. So that hasn't been done, and we would be very happy if we could provide that to Debian and reduce the size of the how-tos. So our final goal will be to have no documentation because it would be so easy to set up, and I think we are far away from that. We've added already a few DebConf configuration screens, and we hope to add some more later. So we targeted in OpenStack, it's maintained through the same release cycles as you find in Ubuntu, so that every 6 months there's a new release. So we had Boston, Diablo, Cactus, Boston, Cactus, Diablo, and SX. Currently, we are at SX that has been released through together with Ubuntu 12.04. And we are quite happy of this release cycle because it means that the guys working on OpenStack will maintain that for 5 years, and that's what we are going to maintain in Wizi. So for us, it's really fortunate. Like the two previous versions of OpenStack, like Cactus and Diablo, were usable, but not as much as SX, which we are very happy because it's more stable, it has all the features we need. So we're quite in a comfortable situation here. But there's a lot of work that is going on. OpenStack is a very young project. It's only 2 years old, okay? So there's always more and more things to be added. There's in Debian since Lenny, there's Ganeti, which was the first first cloud stack that was available in Debian. But there's more to be packaged. Personally, I'd be very happy if we had OpenNebula or CloudStack or Eucalyptus totally packaged in Debian. Currently, we have Ganeti since Lenny, and then we have XCP, OpenStack, and that's it. Nothing more available. So, especially Eucalyptus, it would be interesting because, okay, that is already available in Ubuntu. They've been using it for years already. The very good point of that is that it's fully compatible with EC2. OpenStack team decided that, yes, they will try to be EC2 compatible, but that's not one of their main goal. What they would like to do is more having a nice API, and if they have to diverge a bit from EC2, then be it, doesn't matter. Because OpenStack is aiming more at being the standard of cloud computing by itself. So all of these are very interesting and would love to see them in Debian. So if you would like to contribute, you're of course welcome. And these are the references you should take list of. So once again, I'd like to thank John and Mike from Citrix for being great upstreams. So on the OpenStack packaging, there's been Loic and Julien from Innovance, which is a French company. Innovance has spent like a lot of money by hiring Julien for like many months, doing full-time work on OpenStack packaging. It's really, really a lot of packaging. It's complicated, so we really needed them to work to do that for the community. So a big up to them. Recently, George, he will recognize himself, did a lot of bug submission on the Debian BTS. This was very helpful, so thanks to him as well. And we now have 10 minutes, so I'm happy to have question and answers. Please go ahead. Where's the microphone? Yeah, over there, there's a question.
I just want to touch on eucalyptus a bit. I work for eucalyptus.
Louder, I can't hear.
Sorry. I just want to touch on eucalyptus, what you were talking about before. I work for eucalyptus as their Debian release engineer. We recently uploaded eucalyptus to Debian. We just didn't quite make the freeze, so we're trying to work with the release team to let us in. And also, I just want to clarify, we're not just open core anymore. We're completely open source. The only two components that are not are pieces of VMware technology that we license, and so we're not allowed to release that code.
You're talking about eucalyptus?
Yes, sir.
Yes, so it's not open core anymore?
No, it's completely open source.
Okay. I think that even if eucalyptus is changing the way to release it, I think the ARM that has been done like 2 years ago is already passed, okay? And I think you have lost a big opportunity here.
Very much so. That's why they hired me, actually, yeah. Is because they received quite a black eye in the community. We've been working really diligently with, we've got three Debian guys on our team now. We've got Charles Plessy out in Japan. We've got Rudy Godoy down in Argentina, I believe it is. And Stefan Moeller out of Germany have joined the Package Eucalyptus team. So we're trying to rectify that situation.
So will eucalyptus be in Wheezy Plus One?
Definitely Wheezy Plus One, and we're still working with the release team to try to get in Wheezy. But that's maybe not going to happen.
That'd be 50-50. Great.
50-50, yeah.
That'd be really great if we had eucalyptus. Yes. I believe that together with OpenStack and XCP, that's the thing that we really want in
Debian.
I completely
agree. The more the merrier, so.
Yeah. Is there any other questions? I don't think there is any. All right. Yes, go ahead.
So this is all new to me, so that was marvelous, but there were an awful lot of acronyms and diagrams and stuff, and I didn't really understand about half of that. However, it looks really interesting. So if you stick that online, I can read it again and try and work out
all right.
What's what.
So
for those of us who've never done any of this, it's all quite confusing, but it does look good.
No, that was after. Let me find it out. This one, right? All right, so what's your question?
My question is just put it online so I can read it again.
Sure, it is online.
Anyone making presentation, it would be nice to upload your presentation in Pantabarf.
Yes, it is there already. I uploaded it. Any other question? Is there any questions on that thing? So, I know that this thing sounds like, whoa, I won't ever be able to do that. In fact, that's why I spend a lot of time to explain it to you. Because it seems complicated, but it's not that hard, okay? And like, in fact, you can start up all of that in one machine, and it's going to magically work. All right.
So thanks a lot. Thomas. And we'll resume at noon with talk by Guido Trotter for advanced networking, which is especially relevant to virtualization. So thank you.